Good morning. Please stand and join our opening hymn, number 569, Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Be seated. Well, good morning. Isn't that beautiful to start our service with that patriotic hymn like that? And Gerald, I have to be truly honest. When I thought of that hymn and I knew you were going to be here this morning, I said, I got to do this one. I know Gerald will do so well on this one. And we appreciate you, Gerald and Janet, for leading us on that. Appreciate that. It is Memorial Day weekend, and so it's only fitting that we begin with a hymn like that that reminds us that we are a nation blessed by God, and we just give God thanks for that. Okay, a few announcements as I begin. If you look on the back of your bulletins, just a couple quick reminders there. First of all, Vacation Bible School, there are still some registration forms that are available there in the narthex. I think they're on the table. If you have grandchildren or children or maybe a neighbor, kids that want to be a part of summer vacation Bible school, just pick up that information there and be sure to take that to them, get them signed up. I think you can bring those papers with you on the first day, or you can, I think there's other ways as well to email it and whatnot. The information is on there. It starts the week of June 19th, and it's always a lot of fun. It's held there at Sangersville Church of the Brethren, and we always have a really good turnout. It's kind of a community thing, so, you know, you get kids from all over the North River area, and with 100 plus kids there. So that makes it fun for the children when there's lots of other kids that come to participate. So I hope you share that information. Just a reminder, too, that I'll be gone starting June 11th through June 14th, June 11th and through the 14th there. Just want you to make aware of that. During that time, the deacons will be available. If you have any spiritual needs, of course, you can always reach me by cell phone, but the deacons will be able to answer any of your questions, hopefully, and help you during that time as well. Also, just a congratulation to the Tristan and Cassandra Wiseman. She was Teeter, and so we congratulate them and celebrate that big day yesterday with them. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? You have a Memorial Day prayer that is actually an insert here. And I'm going to share this prayer. We'll share it. I'll share it for you, but we'll pray it together. And let's pray. It says, Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for all those who have courageously laid down their life for the cause of freedom. May the example of their sacrifice inspire in us the selfless love of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these families of our fallen troops and fill their homes and their lives with your strength and peace. We pray all this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. And you'll find this inside your bulletin. And this is coming from portions of John chapter 1, which says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Let's turn in our hymnals to page 270. Wonderful Words of Life, page 270.
Thank you.
seated. I'd like to take just a couple moments to share with you our praises and our prayer requests. First of all, just our prayer requests will continue, and our prayers for the Ware family. We lost Shirley this last week, and our hearts are heavy for our loss of her. Of course, we celebrate that she is in heaven, and we celebrate that she is no longer in pain or discomfort, but that she is resting peacefully with her Lord and Savior. For that puts a lot of joy in our heart in this difficult moment. But we certainly continue to lift up the Ware family. And I see Billy and Joyce and Brian are here as well. And we certainly lift each one of you up in prayer for the loss of your mom. And Billy's going to stand and share something, I think. Billy? Thank you, Billy. It's not easy. I said this several times. It's not easy to say goodbye. We are going to miss Shirley here. I've said several times on those leaving, I told them that Shirley was a big part of Moscow here. And she leaves a big hole. But we again, just turn to our faith in this time. We look to those promises of assurance that we know where Shirley is. She put her faith in the Lord Jesus, and she is home. And the good news is, one day we're going to see her again. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, she's not gone, but she's just went ahead. And so that is just a blessed feeling to know that we'll see our sister again. It's just going to take a little time until God is ready for us to be called home, or whether he comes back to receive us, whatever comes first. The way the world looks, it might be that he's coming back to receive us first before. But we're just thankful that our sister Shirley is there in heaven.
And usual,
she went to prepare. And we shared about how organized she was, so she's there preparing for us as well. And we just continue to lift that family up in our prayers, John up in our prayers. We will continue to be there and walk with you guys through this. And just so thankful, can I just say a special thank you to all the church who helped out, especially with services yesterday. That's when you see the beauty of being a part of a church. That you have that love and support around you. That struck me so much yesterday that I'm just so thankful that I have a family like this. Can't you say that? If we're so thankful to have a family like this, that we are here for each other, we support each other with our prayers, with our kind words, phone calls, hugs, and we help each other through these difficult moments. We give each other the support we need. So just praise God. You know, God didn't want us to suffer the hardships of this world alone, did he? And so being a part of this church family is just a real help in all of our lives. So we're just thankful. Also, might mention that the flowers here this morning were left from the service yesterday by the Ware family. And we thank you for allowing us to share that this morning in memory and thanks of Shirley. Other praises or prayer requests that I'd like to share with you, if you would, put Randy Johnson on your prayer list. Randy had a fall last week and was actually in the hospital for a little bit. And so he's home, he's resting, he's got a kind of a bump on his or a gash on his head that he's recovering from, and Susie is taking care of him. So we just pray for Randy, for Susie, and continue to lift Randy up in our prayers. He's just struggled with several different health issues here in the last couple months. And you know, if it'd be great if you could send him a card, and you can find his address in the new directory. If you hadn't got one of those, just grab one on the way out. And even if you're not real familiar with who Randy is, just tell him you're from Moscow. And that I know that he will appreciate that a whole lot. Also, if you would put Deborah's mom and stepdad on your prayer list, Ron and Sharon Morris. Fortunately, they got COVID last week, and Sharon is on oxygen anyway, so they certainly need your prayers as they recover from that. Also, just a thank you, I think, from Alan Landis and Lee. I know they're not able to be here today as well, but Alan is continuing to recover. And he is he was actually here this past week and doing quite well, moving in and out of the church. He's not going really fast yet, but he'll get there. And he really appreciates all your prayers and your thanks for him. You know, we heard a story this morning from Nancy Bailey. I think just a special thank you to the Lord for watching over her. She had an instance in her house this past week where exhaust fan in her bathroom caught on fire, literally engulfed in flames, and had to call the fire department to come and put it out. Thankfully, it was kind of confined to the attic and that, and maybe just the bathroom there, some remodeling that might have to happen and some things like that. But we just praise the Lord that she was home. She was able to catch that, and the help was there almost immediately, she said, after calling 911. So, Nancy, we just thank the Lord above. We know that's a miracle. That could have been bad. Whenever you see flames in your home, that's not good. And so we just thank the Lord above for your safety there in that situation. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone else? Of course, our congratulations to Cassandra and to Tristan. Their new life together as husband and wife. Hopefully we'll get a chance. If they come, we can congratulate them as well. But we just praise the Lord for a wonderful ceremony there yesterday, and just a blessing, Joanne, for your family. And so we just give God thanks for that. Yes. Yep. That's right. Some from the church were able to help with that, and we just praise the Lord for that going well. Also, just have a joy as well. I don't know if you see this bowl up here, but this bowl was donated to the disaster auction. It was made by Frank Evers, and he donated it. It was made out of the wood that came from this tree that was cut down out front, oak tree, several years ago. I made one bowl out of that tree. Frank helped me make that bowl out of that tree. I better not take too much credit here. I did do a little something to it. But Frank helped me, and then this year, Frank donated a bowl made out of that same wood, out of that tree. And wouldn't you know, it went to the auction, and it was purchased by someone in the congregation, and it was Fred and Helen Shank. Maybe I'm not supposed to tell you that, but we appreciate them purchasing that and then donating it back to the church. And wouldn't you know that we are so blessed that Frank and Joyce Evers are here with us this morning. So why don't we just give them a round of thanks. Frank, we appreciate you doing that. And let me show you something that I have power over here now. It came with a controller. And look at that. So if that candle, and doesn't it look like it's actually burning, that candle? It looks so real. You would think that's actual flame there. So I was thinking, if the Spirit really gets moving, I'll turn that on, you'll know. But we do appreciate it. Very nice gift back to the church. We certainly will use that here at the church for different worship services and things like that throughout the years. So we appreciate that. Oh, prayer request or praise?
Prayer request.
Yes.
Melissa Cup.
Yes, that's right.
And she has a hurt hand.
Yes, she actually broke her hand She was in a very serious accident, Melissa Cup, in Harrisonburg. She got front-ended, a head-on collision, and the whole front end of her car was destroyed. Fortunately, she just only broke two bones in her hand, but and the other lady was okay as well. They were both taken to the hospital and released, and so we just praise the Lord for that. I got to speak with Melissa, had prayer with her, and she was just so thankful that God was looking over her. She said her guardian angels were caring for her, and I seen pictures of the vehicle. It's pretty bad. They hit hard, and so we just thank the Lord above that Melissa's okay and she's recovering. Hannah's here. Hannah can testify to how bad the car is messed up. It's pretty bad. So we just praise the Lord that your mom's okay. And yeah, we just thank God for that. Other prayer requests, Kenny?
Derek, I praise you.
Don't praise me. Don't praise me. Well, I appreciate that.
Yesterday was an extremely rough, emotional roller coaster. We went from sadness and sorrow to a joyful celebration. And emotionally, on any average person, that would be exhausting, just draw you down. You handled it very well, and thank you for your services here at our church.
Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And I couldn't do it without each of you. I shared that multiple times. It takes all of us working together. So I, yeah, we work together, and that's what we do. So thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. Nancy. Yes. We've got some real artists in here, don't we, Nancy? Real artists that we appreciate the kids making those cards and sending that along. Just a way of ministering to those that are healing. And so, well, praise the Lord for that. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Nancy. Just a big praise. Anyone else? Yes, Gail. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Be in prayer for Gail's dad. Continue to pray for him and lift him up in prayer. Yep. Thank you, Gail, for sharing that. With that, I'm going to have now our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together. We'll share the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You. We praise You for Your goodness. We rejoice in Your love, Your salvation, Your eternal hope. We give thanks for who You are in our life. You are our source of strength, our courage. Lord, all the resources we need in our life to live this Christian faith, we find in You and only in You. And Lord, for that we praise You this morning and we worship You. We thank You for Your Son Jesus and His mercy that He poured out upon us, His willingness to die upon the cross, shed His blood for each one of us. Lord, we praise His name here this morning. We rejoice together and are glad in the name of Jesus. Lord, He is our hope. He's our life. He's our promise. He's our inheritance. He's our Savior. Lord, we just worship Him now at this moment, and we praise His name, and only His name is in our mind. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Lord, that's why Your Word was written, so that we might know Your Son and know Your kindness and Your love even through Him. Lord, if we don't accomplish anything here this morning, but just praising His name, Lord, that is more than enough. And that's what we do. Lord, we as well, though, lift up those upon our prayer request list, those names mentioned, those who are in need of Your touch of comfort and healing. Lord, we pray that now upon this body and upon this congregation, upon those that are here, those names that were listed, Lord, those spoken and those unspoken. Lord, we lift our prayers up to You. And Lord, we know that You hear and answer those prayers. Father, we thank You for this offertory this morning. Pray a blessing upon it. Continue to bless the ministry here. Lord, just thank You for that ministry that we've seen over the weekend. Lord, this church is working together in Your name. And Lord, we thank You for that. We pray that that's a testament to our area, to our community, to our family and friends, even to the world. The testament, Lord, that if we seek You, that, Lord, You make us one. You join us together, even through Your Holy Spirit. And Father, we praise You now. Bless us, I pray, as we turn to Your Word. Just continue to speak to our hearts Your truth through Your Word. Father, we pray all these things in Your blessed Son, Jesus' holy name. We pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16-17 as we continue on through our series on how do you know? How do you know? Of course, we started this series last Sunday. I was hoping that it might make us a better apologist. Yeah, do you know what an apologist is? It's not someone that goes around apologizing for everything. But it's someone that can defend the faith. when you are able to have apologetics and you're able to kind of defend the faith, you're an apologist. You're a person who can give an answer. Remember we talked about the scripture where it says to every man there is to be an answer. 1 Peter tells us we're to give to every man an answer, to be prepared for the most difficult of questions. Like, how do you know there is a God? That's a pretty difficult question, isn't it? If someone asks you to go ahead and prove that, explain that, share how you know that there is a God. That was the question last week that we looked at. Someone came up to you and said, how do you know there is a God? I see you're a Christian. I see that you follow God. I see that you believe in God. Now I'm asking you a question. How do you know that there is a God? Well, that's pretty tough, isn't it, to be caught on the moment with a question like that. But what does the Scriptures tell us? We looked at Romans last week. That all creation, all men are without excuse is what the Bible says. Why? Because creation proclaims the invisible God. The qualities of God are seen. God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature is what Romans says, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. How do I know there is a God? Look around. Creation proclaims and professes the glory of God. Just look up at the nighttime sky and imagine how vast and how big and how just amazing that is, and you'll be led right to see the beauty of God. I said last week that the fingerprint of God is on all creation. Everywhere you look, you can see design. And if there's design, there has to be a designer. If there's life, there has to be a life giver. If there's a creation, there has to be a creator. And so we see, we can see in creation itself the proclamation that God exists, the declaration that God is real. He reveals Himself through these things. So now if somebody asks you, how do you know there is a God? You know where to turn, right? Romans. Turn right to Romans and show them those scriptures. Romans chapter 1. And so we need answers. We need answers when people ask big questions. Well, today's question is, how do you know the Bible is true? Where would you go if asked that question? How do you know the Bible is true? Well, the Bible itself speaks of its own truthfulness, its trustworthiness. And we can find that here in our scripture today. And it's right here in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 through 17 is what we're going to look at. So if you have your Bible open, I want you to turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. It says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's saying here is that all Scripture is given by God. This book is not like any other book. You can put this book on a shelf in the library among all the other books, and there may be a lot of books on the shelf, but this one is unlike any of the others. This book is different. Now, the other books, they're all the same. Now, they may be on different subjects, but in the category of Are they God's word? No, they're all the same. But this book is different. This book is God's breathed words. This is the scriptures that God has given us. And notice there that all scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. These aren't just words on the page that men have written, and men have written lots of words. But when man wrote the words, they were by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which means they are not man's words, but they are God's words. When you read the Bible, you're not reading necessarily what Paul wanted to put down or what he thought even. When you read my letters or my notes, you're hearing what I think or what I believe. They're my thoughts. But when you read Scripture, you're reading the mind of God, the voice of God. These are God's words. All Scripture, it says right there, is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These are God's words. They're God-breathed. I think I've shared this before, but really when you hear my voice, you're really hearing the breath of Darren. Take away my breath and can you hear my voice? No, you can't. You can't hear my breath. You can't hear my voice without my breath because the lungs are producing the breath coming up and they're flowing over the vocal cords. And because the breath is making the vocal cords vibrate in such a way that they're making sounds and that you're interpreting it as words. Isn't it amazing all this is happening? There's so much going on just with me talking to you. It's the breath of Darren in which you hear. And the Bible says when you read the Bible, you're hearing the breath of God. You're hearing the voice of God, aren't you? The Scripture really truly is the breath of God. And so what we see here, number one, how do we know that the Bible is true? How can you prove that the Bible is God's Word? How do we know that it's holy, divine, inspired, it's sacred, that it's blessed of God? Well, we are able to see right here in Scripture, number one, God approves it. It's approved by God, isn't it? God approves His Word. That He says in His own, it testifies to it in His own self, that this is His true word, and that you can believe every single word of it, that there's no mistake, there needs to be no correction, there needs to be no changes. You know, a lot of people are making some changes today, aren't they? Some revisions to things that they don't like. I think some people, I've said before, have something called the erasable Bible. Things that they don't like, that don't fit their lifestyle, don't fit their life choices, that they just go ahead and erase those parts out. Just erase those things away, that way I can live with a clear conscience. Remember, sin is the reason to get rid of God and His Word is so you can live in a clear conscience. They don't want to feel guilty for their sin, even though they know they are in the wrong. That's why you have some of these people today that are working so hard for you to accept their sin. Isn't it true? They work overtime. They put in countless hours trying to get and persuade you to accept their sin. Why? Because they feel absolutely guilty for the way they're living. They know it's sinful. They know it's an abomination. It's against the natural laws of God itself. But yet they want you to swallow it, to agree with it, so that they don't feel guilty for their sinful life. And we can't. We cannot change the Word of God. What it says is truth. And you can't change truth. Now, you might disagree with truth, but you can't change truth. You can get in an airplane and say, I don't agree with the laws of gravity. I don't believe it one bit. I'm not agreeing with gravity. Isaac Newton was a moron. And you can get up in an airplane, you can fly across the sky, and you can jump out without a parachute. And guess what's going to happen? Now, you might disagree with truth, but you can't change truth. You can't change truth. This cannot be changed. What it said then is relevant to what it says now. It's not to be changed. Just because the world has a different idea about what's right and wrong makes no difference. This is the truth. This is our guidepost. This is what declares what is right and wrong. This is moral correctness. This is absolute truth. The world doesn't believe in absolute truth. It believes in relative truth. Whatever you believe is relative and okay to you is okay. Live the way you want. How many times have you heard that? Just let them live the way they want. Do what you want. It's okay. All that statement is that truth is only relative to what I believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't even matter to what I believe as a preacher. What matters is this. This is all that matters. This is truth. And it can't be changed. It can't be corrected. It's correct as it is. We just have to be willing to change our life to mirror it, to live by it. We don't change the Scriptures. The Scriptures are true and God has proven it. God approves His truth. The Bible is approved by God. God puts His stamp of approval right on it. 100% true. You can believe every word that it says. It's 100% true. Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching. He approves His Word. He approves the Word of God. Now, God doesn't approve everything else, but He does approve His Word. Okay, not only does God approve it, number two, notice here that Jesus authenticates it. Jesus authenticates it. You know, throughout the Scriptures, and I encourage you to go back and start reading the New Testament, and I want you to look at how many times Jesus Himself authenticates the Scripture. Jesus quotes Scripture. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? What did He do? Oh my, how would He take on Satan there in the wilderness? He quoted Scripture. He quoted God's Word. Jesus Himself authenticates that the Bible is true. If Jesus didn't believe the Bible was true, He would not quote it, would He? He would have tossed that word away as a lie. But that's not what we see. That's not what we find. We find that Jesus continues to authenticate the Word of God throughout His life here on earth. In fact, Jesus quotes the Old Testament in the Scriptures 78 times. He quotes Scripture out of the Old Testament. He even quotes pieces of, there are 26 quotes within the New Testament that you find that Jesus is making. He quotes from Genesis, from Exodus, from Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Malachi. He quotes all these prophets. Jesus authenticates the Word of God. Jesus quotes Scripture. Why? Because He believes it's true. He knows it's true. Even that introduction that we gave, the call to worship, Jesus is the Word, isn't He? He is the truth. He's the living Word. In Him is truth, and there are no lies. Jesus trusted the Scriptures. Jesus quotes the Scriptures, quotes the Word of God. He believes the Word of God. If He believes it's the Word of God, friends, we can believe it too. Jesus was the Word. Everything He said and did only authenticated that it was written by God. Okay, number three, not only does God approve it and Jesus authenticate the Word of God, but note number three that history attests to it. History attests to it. There are all kinds of people digging in the dirt over in East Israel and around that area, and they're digging up artifacts, and they've been digging them up for hundreds of years. And there's a lot of history that they don't have necessarily, it hadn't been proven yet with evidence other than the Bible. There's some things in history that the Bible speaks to, like certain kings at different times, Pilate even. There was no proof outside the Bible for a long time that Pilate ever existed. There was no record. And Romans were very good record keepers. You would think at some point there would be proof that Pilate existed because the Bible professed that he was the man that was in charge of the city there, Jerusalem, when Jesus was crucified. Yet there was no archaeological proof of it. All we had was the Bible to go off of. Now we know the Bible is true, but then the archaeologist or the scientist would say, well, you can't prove the Bible is true because look, there's a very famous person in the scriptures that's at the center of the heart of one of the most important pieces of doctrine within your Christian faith, and you can't even prove that Pilate exists. That was until, I think back in the 50s, they were excavating a site there, and there was a set of steps, and they were digging these steps out, and they were made from rubble, of course, you know, that had fallen down from buildings. And they happened to unearth this one stone, and they turned it over, and on the back was the inscription that this building has been dedicated by Pilate. He gave his full Roman name. That this building was on this date dedicated by Pilate. And again, there we have it. The Bible and history, or the history, attests to the truthfulness of the Bible. You know, there has never been one unearthed artifact that has discredited or proven the Bible as inaccurate or untruthful. Not one. Not one artifact. That, in fact, the more that archaeologists dig up in the dirt, they play in the sand over there, the more artifacts they reveal that tell the truth that the Bible is true. In 1846, before archaeology was even existed as a field, there were people finding artifacts and authenticating the Bible. And it continued from 1846 all the way till today. 1961, that's when the inscription was found on the steps for Pilate. 1968, they found and identified the Capernaum home of the Apostle Peter. 1990, an ossuary was found bearing the inscription of the bones of Caiaphas. Of course, remember Caiaphas was the high priest that infamously pushed for Jesus' execution. Found the bones that had the inscription of Caiaphas on it. Bones, the ortuary, or ossuary with the bones still there. 1993, they found a stele mentioning the house of David that was discovered in the ground. You know, for a long period of time, they didn't have archaeological proof that David even existed. And then they unearthed this stone again that brought David out of mythology and right into the historical records of him as king of Israel. Most recently, 2001, archaeologists unearthed a 5-foot layer of soot right in the place where the ancient city of Sodom stood, and they have a layer of soot and burnt ash that cannot be explained. Scientists said whatever happened, it happened quick. It was an intense heat that lasted for a very short period of time. They found all kinds of broken shards and burnt bone and melted ceramic, different items they're finding there in the ground. and they say that this absolutely just attests to the fact that the ancient city of Sodom is true. Over and over again, history attests to the truth that the Bible is true. Okay, lastly, number four, experience affirms it, doesn't it? Our experience affirms that the Bible is true. I think by far this is the greatest affirmation of all of them. At least for me it is. How do I know that the Bible is true? How do I know that the Bible is true? How do you know that the Bible is true? You've tested it. You've affirmed it yourself. The more I trust in the Scriptures, the more He tells me about come to Him for peace and joy and all those wonderful things, the more I go to Him, the more I follow the Scriptures, the more I can attest the things that it says are true. I have my own personal conviction. I have my own experience. I know that it's true. How do I know the flu is miserable? I've had it. I can attest to it. Now, if I've never had the flu, could I truly tell you that I believe that the flu is miserable? I just have to go off what you're saying. Well, maybe it is. They say it's horrible. I can attest to it because I've experienced it. Have you experienced it? It's miserable, isn't it? None of us want to be sick with the flu. How do we know the Bible is true? We've experienced it. Those of us who have believed it, who have trusted in it, who have put our life devoted to it, we have experienced it and we have proven it. You know, till something's proven as true, it's just a hypothesis. At least that's what we learned in school, science class. You had an idea about something, it was a hypothesis. It wasn't proven. But when you test it, when you try it, that's how science works. When you test it and try it and prove it, then it becomes a truth. And that's the way it is with experience. We've tested it. We've tried it. We've proven it as true. Amen? We know the Bible is true. We know God's Word is true. We've proven it in our life. We've trusted in it. And we know with experience that it is 100% trustworthy in your life. God approves it. Jesus authenticates it. History attests to it. And our experience affirms it. Isn't that more than enough to believe that the Bible is true? Boy, it is for me. You know, at some point, to believe anything, you have to have faith. That's what the Bible says. You can only believe, and you can only be saved by having faith. So at some point, you have to make a choice. Do I believe or do I not believe? Boy, for me, it's easy. I believe. I've tested it. I've tried it. I believe. Do you believe? Say with me, I believe.
I believe.
I believe. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this Scripture. Thank You again for helping us in our answers that we are able to take to others around us. Maybe there are those that question in our families, or maybe there are those that question in a friend's work. Maybe they do have a real question about whether or not it's real. I pray that we can use these things, these lessons and this Scripture to, again, just authenticate for each one of us that the Word of God is true. It can be trusted in. We know it's true. And we can attest to it. Lord, thank You so much for these truths in our life. We need this foundation of truth. Your Scripture is like that solid rock in which we build our house. Lord, we need that solid rock in our life. We need that truth in our life. And I pray now that we, each one of us, will confess, Lord, that we've fallen short from seeking that truth in our life at times. Lord, we've strayed away, we confess. Lord, we've trusted in our own wisdom and our own truthfulness, or the truth of those around us or even the truth of the world. Lord, we confess that we fall short in trusting in Your Word. But Lord, I pray right now that we turn our hearts, that we renew our hearts in and through Your Word. And Lord, that we seek to build our life on the foundations which is this book, which is Your Holy Word. We seek not to found our life on any other foundation, but the foundation which is Your Scripture and Your Son Jesus, who is the Word. Might we build our life on the foundations of the Word. Lord, we repent where we've trusted in other things that aren't the Word. Lord, help us to seek the Word with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Let us seek it daily in our homes, not just at church. Let us be about reading Your Word early in the morning. Might we rise to turn open the Scriptures and read Your Word and hear those things that You seek to say to each one of us. Give us a heart that desires to know Your Word, seeks Your Word, trusts Your Word. And Lord, a heart as well of compassion that seeks to share Your Word with others. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this lesson this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's turn now in our hymnal to our final concluding hymn, which is page 275, How Firm a Foundation. And let's stand together and sing, page 275. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've heard Your Word today. I pray that we go forth lifted up through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray we go forth into the world to be not hearers but doers of Your Word. Bless us, I pray, this week. Watch over us till we meet again. Father, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.